From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Why we're cutting the cord more than ever and where it leaves TV. Coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And as we sever the ties to our over-the-top cable bills and never look back, pay TV providers could stand to lose a lot of revenue, and soon. Cord cutting is for sure a movement at this point, and new research backs up what most of us already are becoming hip to. Here to break down the latest findings on that front is media reporter for The Wall Street Journal, Shalini Ramachandran. Hi, Shalini.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. So cord cutting is certainly making a name for itself these days. New research out from the firm CG42 allows us to really see where it could lead us. So where is it going? How many are expected to cut the cord over the next year?
So CG42 estimates about 800,000 customers cutting the cord over the next 12 months.
So, I mean, that's obviously a lot. What does research show in terms of how much money cord cutters are saving and how it compares to cord havers?
Yeah.
Need a word for them.
Well, so the average cord cutter apparently saves $104 a month, which is about 56% of their bill, according to this survey. And so basically what this firm CG42 did was they surveyed about 1,000 U.S. customers who are cord nevers, which means that they've never subscribed to cable TV, or cord cutters. And so based on all those reports and what they reported that they are spending now, they saw that the average cord cutter saves $104 a month. And they say that's largely because these cord cutters, I mean, obviously the big chunk of it being their cable TV subscription, but also they found that people don't tend to spend much more on streaming services, even after cutting the cord. Now, conventional wisdom in the industry has always been, oh, well, if you cut the cord to make up for all the entertainment options you're going to miss, you might get Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and HBO and Showtime, and it's all going to add up. But it seems like these people aren't spending much more than about $15, even after cutting the cord. So even if their internet bill might go up slightly because they're not getting a bundled package anymore, they're not sort of overspending on streaming services.
That was one thing that I thought about, because I am a cord cutter, haven't looked back, and that was, well, I'm like, well, I pay for home internet and I pay for, you know, Netflix, this, that, and the other. Am I really saving? But yeah, research totally backs that up. On the subject of money, just one more question to put things into perspective. Pay TV providers, they probably stand to lose quite a bit in the next year. What does the data say?
So the data says that pay TV providers are going to lose about $1,248 per cord cutter annually, and that in aggregate could be about $1 billion in revenue. Now, $1 billion sounds like a lot to us. It's not pocket change, but it's in the context of the whole pay TV industry, it's only a small fraction of what they actually bring in per year. But I think it's kind of like a warning sign.
Right. Another thing that might have been keeping people from cutting the cord was content or access to the content that they want. Does this survey address how users are navigating through that? Are they content with finding their content?
Yeah, so one of the most interesting things I thought was that people aren't exactly thirsting for, you know, more of some of the traditional television content, like live sports and news. And when they want to watch sports, the survey is finding that they're just going to the bar and watching a sporting event with their friends at the bar. Mm-hmm. And about 83% of cord cutters surveyed said that they can access most or all of the content they want to watch without a pay TV subscription. And about 87% of cord nevers, people who have never subscribed to cable, so they can get to most of the content they want to watch without a pay TV subscription. So that's pretty telling in that people are kind of getting used to what they have available. They're not sort of pining away for linear channels.
Right, right. No, there's a method to it, absolutely. I'm curious, where do cord cutters flock to mainly? Where are they utilizing the digital streaming world most? Is there a streaming outlet that's benefiting the most from this?
Yeah, so definitely Netflix, it's the far and away the most popular streaming outlet for cord cutters. 94% of cord cutters and cord nevers reported that they subscribe to Netflix, and free YouTube is a close second, I think, in the 80% range. And the other paid streaming outlets come in pretty pretty far under that. Amazon Prime was the kind of third place, and only about half of cord cutters and cord nevers subscribe to Amazon Prime, which, as you know, you subscribe to the Prime shipping subscription, the $99 a year, or you can pay individually for the video package, which is more of a new thing. But it sounds like, you know, Netflix is by far the biggest beneficiary.
Right. We're going to take a quick pause. Coming up, the final word on where this leaves TV providers.
Enjoy our podcasts? Then listen in your car. Before you start down the road, just sync your smartphone using Bluetooth or plug into the USB port. Got Apple CarPlay? Just tap on the podcast app and search for WSJ. The next time you're getting behind the wheel, take us along and enjoy the ride. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.
And we're back speaking to Wall Street Journal reporter Shalini Ramachandran on the state of cord cutting, cord having, cord never having. So $1 billion later, $1 billion lost. Can cable TV providers walk away with anything positive? Is there an upside for them?
Absolutely, there is. And, you know, I don't think this is new to them because, you know, they have been suffering. For the last couple years, they've seen that, you know, cord cutting is happening at the margins. And how they're making up for it, at least the cable companies that sell internet too, they are selling pricier internet. They're selling, you know, instead of you buying 50 megas per second, they'll sell you 150 and say, why don't you buy the 150 megas per second and stream everything you ever wanted and have tons of people over and stream all together. So I think they're trying to make up for it on the internet side. Usage-based pricing is another thing. It's a sort of hot topic where you'll get actually charged if you go over a certain data cap. It's not something consumers love to hear about, but right. It's definitely one of the options that that cable companies are considering. But for satellite operators, whose main big business is television, they don't have a great alternative now. That's why AT&T bought DirecTV, so now AT&T and DirecTV together can kind of sell packages of television and broadband. But Dish Network, which is a standalone satellite operator, is kind of exposed.
Gotcha. Very interesting, Shalini. Thanks very much for joining the podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
Once again, we've been speaking to Shalini Ramachandran. She covers all things media for The Wall Street Journal. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos for The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.